Our text this morning is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So please listen carefully as I read the word of our God. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. This is the word of our God. Well, through the end of May, with a few breaks for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, we're planning on working through this letter of 2 Peter. So we're planning 12 sermons through this letter. And this morning we'll start by looking at these first four verses. So let me pray for us, and then we'll consider this together. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name be glory. Speak to us now, we pray, and lead us in the way everlasting. Come, we pray, Holy Spirit, in your grace and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's begin by thinking about two different post-championship press conferences. In the first, the star player sits down at the mic and he says something like this: I'd like to begin by recognizing and thanking every single member of this organization. Players, coaches, staff, ushers, janitors, even the fans. Each and every person is a part of our success, bringing different talents and gifts to the table, helping us win, making us what we are. We are all, he says, we are all champions in my book. So that's one player. Now I want you to imagine a second player, a very different scenario. First, I'd like everyone to recognize me, my talents, my gifts, what I bring to this team. I am the champion in this room. I want everyone to see me and my glory. So two very different players after winning a championship. And it's not a perfect analogy, but Peter, as he begins this letter, is like the first star player. He's leveling the field. Even though he was one of Jesus' closest disciples, even though he lived with Jesus for years and saw amazing miracles, and even sat and ate with Jesus after the resurrection, and even though Peter was commissioned to be the leader in the early church, he comes to us in this letter. He doesn't stand over us and look down toward us, but he looks us in the eyes, face to face, on the same level. Because of the way of Jesus Christ with him, because of the grace he experienced, the forgiveness that he had found, he starts his letter by saying that this letter comes to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. Equal standing. Think about this. I think by saying ours, he is referring to himself and the apostles. Obtained a faith of equal standing even with the apostles. Men who knew Jesus. Men who walked with Jesus. Again, men who sat down and ate with the resurrected Jesus. A faith of equal standing. So Peter, as he begins this letter, he is pointing to this very important Christian truth that we are all equal in Jesus Christ. And this wasn't just Peter's message. This isn't just some kind of truth we come to at the beginning of 2 Peter, at the end of the New Testament, kind of an aside in Christianity. Peter believes this, and Peter communicates this because this is the way of Jesus. This is the way of Jesus. In this way of Jesus, every single person is accepted and valued and elevated and appreciated. From the youngest to the oldest, from the richest to the poorest, from the most educated to the least educated. We can think of any category. And in the way of Jesus, every person is accepted and valued and elevated and appreciated by Jesus and should be by the church, by Jesus' people. This is Jesus' message. We all come by grace. We all come only by the death of Jesus. We all come in the same way, and there's this leveling that comes because we all enter through the cross. We all receive this grace. This is what Peter is pointing to as he starts this letter. We have an equal standing, even with the apostles. So why is this important for us to consider this morning? Why is this an important truth to live in? A few thoughts. Do you struggle sometimes with feeling like maybe you don't add much value compared to others around you? Maybe you're not as educated. Maybe you're not as eloquent, not as socially gifted. Maybe your job isn't as cool as some others. Or your experiences seem a little more boring compared to others. Or your background is a little bit more messed up. Or maybe your struggles continue to nag at you. So you have a hard time seeing your own value. You have a hard time seeing your worth. Well, we need to hear the word of God to us this morning. As a Christian, you have obtained a faith of equal standing with everyone around you. Or maybe you live your life feeling like you are always striving, like you're always reaching, you're always grasping for this value and this acceptance. And you're looking in all the normal places, relationships, romance, success, achievement, friendships, whatever it is. You're looking, you're striving. And maybe you've experienced a little, but you feel the weight of holding on, how difficult it is. Feel so fragile. Well, Peter is leading us by pointing us to this way of Christ. He's leading us to this path of freedom where we don't always have to be striving or grasping or clinging to this acceptance and this approval. Or one other angle, why is this important for us? Maybe we could admit to having a hard time valuing certain people, appreciating certain people. Maybe we have enough awareness of our own hearts that when certain people come in the room, we move towards them, and certain people come in the room, we move away from them. Right? We could think of a few examples. One person walks in the room, and you find out they are the CEO of a cool startup company, and they attended a prestigious school. And they just look cool, right? Not like this. This wasn't meant to me. I look cool. They just look cool, right? You're drawn towards them. You want to talk, and you start to hear these things, and you smile a little bigger. You're a little more energetic. You move towards them because they're cool. Next person walks in the room. They just have a menial job. They're struggling to make ends meet, and it's pretty clear. They even, like, you look at them, they just look a little boring. And instead of moving towards them with energy, you're like, okay, I'm going to go talk to someone else. Well, how should the way of Jesus shape us as these two different people walk in the room? We come to a beautiful, beautiful truth this morning that Jesus gives us a different value system. And through Jesus, in this way of Jesus, each and every person is brought to this equal standing as they come to trust in Jesus, brought to this equal standing in Christ and through Christ. And we as a church community can welcome and appreciate and see the grace and the gifting of Jesus in each individual. This would be a beautiful community to be a part of. So that's why these verses are important for us as we look at them. My prayer is that these truths would shape us more and more. So my plan this morning, the time we have, is to have two introductory questions as we start 2 Peter. Who is this man who introduces himself as Simeon Peter? So who is this man and what is this letter? So two introductory questions, and then we'll just look at these two themes in verses 1 and 2, this equal standing, what is it? And then verses 3 and 4, this equal and very high standing. Equal and very high, elevated standing, what is it? So number one, first introductory question, who was this man? Verse 1, if you look at it, Simeon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's the man writing this letter. He's introducing himself. We're maybe more used to hearing Simon Peter instead of Simeon Peter, but it's basically the same. Simeon is just a transliteration of his Hebrew name. So this man, we'll call him Simon Peter. If you know much of Scripture, he's larger than life in the Bible. And we could spend a lot of time introducing him, but I'm just going to high level.